We're going to study out the Psalms for the most part tonight. Decided to try something a little bit different. We're going to start out with Psalms 146. Psalm 146, most of the Psalms that we'll be reading tonight are fairly short ones. I'm going to let the Psalms themselves, for the most part, do the talking. Got a little bit of commentary with them, but I want us to understand a few things from them. Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who give food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Thy God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. The psalm ends up here at the very end mentioning the fact that God thwarts the ways of the wicked. Or depending on your translation, God overthrows the ways of the wicked. We have to understand one particular thing about men. Even high-ranking men, those who might consider, you know, high-ranking in the government, princes or presidents or anybody else that we might look up to as in respect as far as authority, we need to remember that they're mortal. They do not live forever. Even high-ranking people are untrustworthy, especially when we're talking about our soul salvation. Men die, even with good intentions, they don't always accomplish what they set out to do. In contrast to that, the psalmist points out God is able to do everything that he wants to do. He doesn't die like men do. And he takes care of justice, and he sees to it that his way is carried out. And as we go through these psalms, it's important to remember that men are very limited in what they can do, and limited in their power. The next psalm we're going to look at is Psalm 109. Psalm 109. O God of my praise, do not be silent, for they have opened the wicked and deceitful mouth against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they act as my accusers, but I am in prayer. Thus they have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man over him, and let the accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him come forth guiltily, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children wander about and beg, and let them seek subsistence far from their ruined homes. Let the creditors seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder the product of his labor. Let there be none to extend loving kindness to him, nor any to be gracious to his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off. In a following generation, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and do not let the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off their memory from the earth, because he did not remember to show loving kindness, but persecuted the afflicted and needy man, and the despondent in heart, to put them to death. He also loved cursing, so that it came to him, he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing as with his garment, and it entered into his body like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him as a garment with which he covers himself, and for a belt with which he constantly girds himself. Let this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord, and from those who speak evil against my soul. But thou, O God, the Lord, deal kindly with me for thy name's sake, because thy loving kindness is good, and deliver me. For I am afflicted and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am passing like a shadow when it lengthens. I am shaken off like the locust. My knees are weak from fasting. My flesh has grown lean without fatness. I also have become reproach to them. When they see me, they wag their head. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to thy loving kindness. And let them know that this is thy hand. Thou, Lord, has done it. Let them curse, but do thou bless. When they arise, they shall be ashamed, but thy servant shall be glad. Let my accusers be clothed with dishonor, and let them cover themselves with their own shame as with a robe. With my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, and in the midst of many I will praise him. For he stands at the right hand of the needy to save him from those who judge his soul. David here is expressing the problem that he has is that he's being oppressed. He's being opposed for the fact that he's doing what is right. And people are standing against him. We can actually see the reason for the wicked's hatred of David in verses 4 and 5. David says, I love them, but in return, they act as my accusers. I pray, and they do me evil. They give hatred back for his love. And in response, what David says is those people will get back exactly what they gave to him. This is one of the things that God promises to the wicked. As we treat other people, God also will respond backwards and give us what we do to other people. If a person acts wickedly, they'll receive the same treatment. Hold your finger here and take a look at Proverbs 13. Because Solomon says basically the same thing in quite a few less words. Proverbs 13, verse 1. Proverbs 1. Wait. I misread that one. Proverbs 1, verse 31. Put the colon in the wrong spot. Proverbs 1, verse 31. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be sated with their own devices. That's what happens. People end up getting what they sow. They reap what they sow. In fact, if you read through that verse, in verse 8, when it says, let his days be few, let another take his office, sounds familiar? That's referring to, that was quoted in reference to Judas. Judas had mistreated the Lord. And what he got back was in kind for what he did to the Lord. David was distressed, but he asked for salvation, that the wicked might see that the wicked was powerless to do anything bad against David forever. Again, look at 109, look at verse 26. Help me, O Lord my God, save me according to thy loving kindness. Let them, that's the wicked, know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but do thou bless. When they arise, they shall be ashamed, but thy servant shall be glad. Let my accusers be clothed in dishonor, and let them cover themselves with the robe, shame of their as with the robe. In another passage, in Psalm 86, we're not going to read the whole psalm, we're just going to look at verse 17. Again, the same idea is expressed. Psalm 86, verse 17. Show me a sign for good, that thou, those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, O Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. The wicked do not like people who are righteous. And you see this at time, from time to time, especially people that like to be bullies. Just the fact that you're doing what is right irritates them. And what David is expressing is a desire that basically they can see that they are powerless. They don't have an effect. That they might be ashamed of what they're doing. Again, in Psalm 112, I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. God overthrows the wicked. The wicked might want the righteous to be discomforted, to be put down. And he might manage to do that temporarily. But God always wins. And that's because God despises the wicked. We're going to turn over to Psalm 53 and read that one. Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have committed abominable injustices. There is no one who does good. God looked down from the heaven upon the sons of men to see if there is anyone who understands, who seeks after God. Every one of them has turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Have the workers of wickedness no knowledge, who eat up my people as though they were ate bread? And have not called upon God? There they were in great fear, where no fear had been. For God scattered the bones of him who encamped against you. You put them to shame, because God had rejected them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When God restores his captive people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. Again, there's the point, is that wickedness is widespread. God looked down from heaven to see how many people were actually righteous, and he found none. Even those of us who try to do what is good, we sin at time and from time to time. None of us can claim to be perfectly righteous. But those who are wicked, those who are given over to following sin, God causes them fear. David says that's because he despises the wicked. Hold your finger here and look at Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26 and verse 36. As for those of you who may be left, I will also bring weakness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a driven leaf will chase them, and even when no one is pursuing, they will flee as though from a sword, and they will fall. God here is promising protection for his people. And what he tells us is that when people are caught up in wickedness, God puts fear in their hearts. They're scared even when nothing is really there. And a lot of it's based on their own imagination. They think of all sorts of evil things that could be done, and then imagine other people are going to do it to them. They have no confidence in someone watching over them like we have with God watching over us. In that psalm that we read in Psalm 53, there are a couple things that might be a little confusing. It mentions bones in Psalm 53. And what he's referring to there is a person's strength. In fact, take a look at Psalm 6 and verse 2, just to show you an example of this. Psalm 6, verse 2, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed. He's saying, I'm becoming weak. I'm losing strength. Another one is in Psalm 31, verse 10. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body or my bones, literally, has wasted away. Again, he's referring to the loss of strength because of his sins. And so in this Psalm in 53, when it talks about scattering bones, same as scattering strength. In other words, he's causing terror. He's dispersing a person's strength, dismissing it, causing weakness and terror. There's fear, and it shows because they realize they're just mere men. In Psalm 9 and verse 20, put in them fear, O Lord, let the nations know that they are but men. This is why God does it. People have to understand where they live in the world. They need to see themselves properly in their proper place. The wicked oftentimes think themselves greater than they really are. And what God has promised is to put fear in them so that they might be ashamed and might see they don't have control over the world. Only in salvation, only in being righteous is there boldness. In Proverbs 28 and in verse 1, Proverbs 28 verse 1, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as lions. We have somebody to trust in, and it's not ourselves. We can be bold, we can be confident, because we know that our God supports what we're doing because we're righteous. The wicked does not have that type of support. In Psalm 140, there's a discussion about the traps of the wicked. Psalm 140. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hand of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have pursued to trip up my feet, or purpose to trip up my feet. The proud have hidden a trap for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They set snares for me. I said to the Lord, Thou art my God. Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not promote his evil device, that they be exalted. As for the head of those who surrounded me, may the mischief of their lips cover them. May burning coals fall upon them. May they be cast into the fire, into the deep pits from which they cannot arise. May a slanderer not be established in the earth. May evil hunt the violent man speedily. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous will give thanks to thy name. The upright will dwell in thy presence. But the psalmist here says, is that the wicked are constantly looking for war. In other words, they're always looking for an excuse to do battle. They always want somebody to oppose. And they'll look for any excuse to do so. They poison with their words. They lay traps to cause the righteous to stumble. And yet what he basically promises is they're going to fall in their own traps. Those things that they seek to trap other people will become snares for them. And that's Psalm 141, the very next psalm. Look down at verse 9 and 10. Keep me from the jaws of the trap which they have set for me, from the snares of those who do iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely. See, God will see to it that the wicked's way will not succeed. And God has basically what David is saying, an ironic streak. He likes to trap the wicked in their own traps. When people set snares by words, they often get trapped by their own words. When they try to do something wicked, it comes back on them. Every once in a while you hear the stories Paul Harvey likes to put out about the crook who did something, and he does something really dumb. There's a reason why it kind of tends to happen that way. People's sins trap them. In Psalm 35, starting with verse 4, let those be ashamed and dishonored who seek my life. Let those who turn back and be let those be turned back and humiliated who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them on. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let the net which he hid catch himself. Into the very destruction, let him fall. See, God overthrows the wicked. God defeats them in their own evil purposes. Another psalm that speaks about secret attacks is in Psalm 64. Psalm 64, starting with verse 1. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from the dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsels of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity, who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aim bitter speech as their arrow, to shoot from concealment at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They hold fast to themselves an evil purpose. They talk of lying snares secretly. They say, who can see them? They devise injustices, saying, we are ready with well-conceived plot. For the inward thought and the heart of a man are deep. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they will be wounded. So they will make him stumble. Their own tongue is against them. All who see them will shake the head. Then all men will fear and will declare the work of God and will consider what he has done. The righteous man will be glad in the Lord and will take refuge in him, and all the upright in heart will glory. Oftentimes we see this with the wicked. They think that because they're doing it from secret, planning out their plots and thinking, well, nobody knows. Even those ones that keep deep within themselves and they don't tell anybody. They forget that God knows. But they think they are fully safe because no one else knows. And they've thought about all the contingencies and they have everything planned out. Nothing could go wrong. And so they encourage each other. They hatch the perfect plan. And just when they think they triumph, God shoots back. But the psalmist says, then they fear. They ought to fear. And those who see them learn. Or they ought to learn. And the righteous who have been trusting in God then rejoice. Because they know that their trust was properly placed. See, in Psalm 147, in verse 11, God wants to cause fear in the wicked. Not just to be causing fear to be doing, but in Psalm 147, verse 11 says, the Lord favors those who fear him, who wait for his loving kindness. God's happy with those who fear Him, because then we put our confidence in Him, not in ourselves. But what God hopes with the wicked is to turn them around with the fear. In Psalm 83, starting with verse 16. Fill their faces with dishonor, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever, and let them be humiliated and perish, that they may know that thou alone, whose name is the Lord, art the most high over all the earth. You read through a lot of what David has said. Most of the songs that we read were from David. You think, well, boy, he's just vindictive. He wants these wicked people smashed and overthrown and trapped by their own thing. But here's the key to it. David understands, as well God understands, that until the wicked's arrogance is broken, until people see they are but mortal man, and they can't get away with plans against God, until they develop a true fear of God, only then is there hope that they will turn to God. And what David's basically saying, God, take care of this problem. Defeat them in their own purposes. Humiliate them. Make them ashamed. In hopes that maybe they will turn to God. In Psalm 107, we're going to end with these verses. Psalm 107, starting with verse 42. It says, the upright see it and are glad, but all the unrighteousness shuts his mouth. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. Therein is what we need to understand. A lot of times we don't go reading through the Psalms very often. It's got a lot of poetic language and it's kind of rough to go through. But we ought to learn the lessons there. There are a number of Psalms we didn't have all of them, that talk about the fact that God overthrows the wicked. And the righteous ought to understand this and pay attention. Sometimes it feels rough, especially when you're doing what is right and it seems like the world's against you. And people are picking on you and making your life miserable and rough just because you're righteous. Or trying at least to be righteous. Have confidence that God will overthrow the wicked. It might seem that people are getting away with all sorts of things. They never will. God always wins. Sometimes He just lets the string out and plays with them a little bit to make sure they understand that He has control over what's going on. And eventually He'll pull them back. And either they're going to have to change or they'll die in their wickedness. One of the two. But we have an opportunity tonight that those who are not children of God, there is no need to stay in wickedness. There's an opportunity to turn towards the Lord and do what is right. If there's anyone here tonight who wishes to become a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there's anyone here who is a child of God and would like the prayers of the brethren on the behalf, why don't you come forward? We stand and sing the song. So let's go.